You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome in to this Crossover Thursday episode here at Locked On Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, here every single Monday through Friday, 5 days a week, covering your New Orleans Saints. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi's here to get you ready for game day. No matter how you watch this season, whether you're at home, in the dome, or on the road to Carolina, Pepsi is the refreshment that you need to power through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi made for football watching. The Saints injury report is out, and it looks like the Saints are on pace to have their full offensive and defensive lines back and ready, at least for the playoffs, which is a huge benefit. But some shuffling around in the secondary includes some good and bad news for a pair of fan favorites. We'll talk about all of that and how it factors in to this week's three keys to victory against the Carolina Panthers. And then, of course, it's Crossover Thursday, so it's Bill Rossetti of Locked On Panthers this week. We're talking matchups, what Carolina is going to do at running back without both Christian McCaffrey and Mike Davis, and what the Panthers' future looks like in the NFC South. As always, I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, editor over at CanalStreetChronicles.com, and your Tuesday co-host of the National Locked On NFL podcast. We got all that and a little bit of Lanyap for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. For better or for worse, the Saints have some key players mentioned on the injury reports that factor into the three keys to victory this week against Carolina. That's our New Orleans Saints lead story of the day today with Ross Jackson of Locked On Saints. For the Saints' first injury report on Wednesday, they listed three players that moved up to full participation after being at least some course of limited or DNP last week. Guards Nick Easton and Andres Pete, defensive tackle Malcolm Brown, who comes back to practice after missing 3 weeks of games. Limited were defensive end Trey Hendrickson dealing with a neck injury, running back Latavius Murray, and defensive tackle David Onyemata, both of which played last week, and then did not participate tight end Josh Hill, who left the game on Christmas Day after one snap with a hand injury, and Marcus Williams, who missed last week's game. So as we break down that injury report, just want to mention our first key to victory on Sunday, regardless an actual result of the game, is actually just staying healthy. Whether that means sitting players when the time presents itself, if that opportunity should present itself, or just being smart with the players that are on the field, staying healthy to go into the playoffs, of course, a huge key going into this one. Now, getting back to full strength on the offensive line is, of course, incredibly timely heading into the playoffs. This is really, really good news to see both Pete and Easton working their way back. Whether they appear this week or not, we'll find out later on in the week, but still good news nonetheless. Assuming that Hendrickson and Onyemata are able to play, the Saints would also have their full arsenal back on their defensive line for the first time in a while. Certainly looks to at least be trending that way for the playoffs, if nothing else. Again, more good news there. Both of these points go towards our second key of this week, which is to dominate in the trenches. You've got some talented pass rushers in this one, and you have a pretty good offensive line that gave up only one sack the last time these two teams played. It was a timely sack, of course, which ended up pushing the Panthers just inches out of Joey Sly's field goal range, but another opportunity to build some confidence here against a familiar opponent heading into the postseason. Marcus Williams being out is something to obviously continue watching. Getting him back for the playoffs, at least, would be a huge benefit for the Saints defense, especially if they have to match up against either the Cardinals or the Rams, who, of course, want to take those deep shots. That safety help would be extremely beneficial for the Saints. And unfortunately, though, we do have to get to some bad news here. CJ Gardner-Johnson, Saints safety and second-year guy out of Florida, moved to the COVID-19 reserve list. Unclear at this time if he tested positive, but if he did with no symptoms, he would not be available to return for 10 days, provided that he tests negative after that window. If that's the case, it would mean that the earliest that he could return is January 9th, which is right in the middle of Wild Card weekend. Not sure which day the Saints Wild Card game would be, should they appear in that round. If he does not test positive and instead was just deemed close contact, then he'll be out for just 5 days, meaning that he could return January 4th, be ready for practice for the wild card game and the first round of the playoffs if the Saints should appear there. This is basically what happened with Jameis Winston when he missed the Chiefs matchup but was able to be active for the Minnesota Vikings matchup. Missing C.J. Gardner-Johnson is going to be a pretty big blow for the Saints defense, who's already going to have to work on figuring out its identity without Quan Alexander. Having a full wealth of defensive pieces around Alex Anzalone would have been really beneficial in this final game before the playoffs, as opposed to having to figure things out during the wild card game. But there is some additional positive news here for the Saints defense, getting cornerback Patrick Robinson back designated to return from injured reserve. He's currently still on the injury list, just to clarify, but is eligible to return as early as this weekend if he gets back to practice and can show that he's ready to get back out on the field. All of those factors, in particular, talking about the secondary defense, Alex Anzalone, those defensive pieces, all go into our last key, which is finding your defensive identity. Now, this may be just a mere reminder because it might be the same defensive identity that we have seen earlier on in the season when the Saints defense was really standing out. But with some key players out for this one and with a permanent change at linebacker, at least for the season and playoffs without Quan Alexander, what is now the identity of this defense? If it's the same, that's great. Assume normality as quickly as possible. If not, and it has to change, find that new groove immediately. So as the Saints get all of this figured out going in and finding these three keys, some of them are about winning this game. Some of them are simply about winning their way into the playoffs and their mentality getting ready for this playoff game. We're going to break down the game a little bit more with the Carolina Panthers here in just a moment with our crossover Thursday segments with Bill Rossetti of Locked On Panthers. But before we get to that, I have no reason to bet against Sean Payton, to bet against Dennis Allen, and especially when I've got the support of my guys over at betonline.ag, our exclusive gambling partners now here at the Locked On Podcast Network, an incredible, incredible opportunity, an incredible partnership with the site. So if you're ready for some football, whether it's college football as it heads into the bowl season, you've also got the New Year's games coming up as well, or if it's the big matchups for the final week of the regular season or even the playoffs right around the corner, the number one place that has you covered and the number one place that we trust is betonline.ag. And don't forget to go and sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use our promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, all one word, for your 50% welcome bonus. The Saints favored very heavily heading into this game, even though they're traveling to Carolina. So there's a lot of faith in the Saints in Vegas. So if you want to put your faith in the Saints or any other team from around the NFL, college, basketball, anywhere it is that you want to make a run here and get yourself some nice post-holiday money to make up for all that money you spent for the gifts for the family, right? The best place to do it and put your faith is going to be over at betonline.ag. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. And don't forget to use that promo code Locked On to get that 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Remember, guys, betting on the NFL or the Panthers, the Saints, whatever the case may be, it doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks and quick hitting advice to make the smartest possible wagers. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts. What's going on, guys? Billy Rossetti, Ross Jackson with you here on the final crossover Thursday of the regular season. Sob tier. But we're going out with a bang. I've been looking forward to this one since the first time we got together. And Ross, always a joy to talk with you, man. You're one of my boys here. You know that.
Oh, man. You know how much I love being able to chop it up with you as well, dude. Glad to be here. I'm glad that we made it to week 17. There was doubt that we would get here, but here we are and on time at that.
Yeah, I will freely admit, I am glad to be wrong on this. I was one of those people back in the summer. I was like, I don't know how the NFL is going to do this. Hey. You know, they might be able to get 12 weeks in, but I will happily be wrong on that. And we got one final game to talk about here. Week 17, the Panthers hosting the Saints, 4:25 on Sunday on Fox. Panthers at this point playing for pride, trying to play a little bit of spoiler. Saints, of course, fighting for that number one seed. And I think that's where I'm going to start with you, Ross, is what's the mindset of, you know, what's the feeling around the Saints going into this game, going into the playoffs, especially coming off what was an incredible performance on Christmas Day against the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, I mean, that was an incredible Christmas gift right there. That's
yes,
for sure. look, I mean, for them, they very much believe that the number one seed is still in play. They control their destiny in terms of being in that conversation by winning on Sunday. And so they intend to go in and play their starters and win this game. I mean, that's the hope for them. They're not going to sit back and leave it to chance and potentially fall back to the third seed. They want that number two seed, if nothing else. And they're still in, you know, swinging distance of that number one seed. But none of that matters in terms of all the other scenarios and elements that have to play out in order for them to get there if they don't win on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. I want to kind of talk a little bit about what the Saints have done since you and I last spoke about, what, 2 or so months ago, almost mm-hmm. 3 months ago. Obviously, one of the big stories with the Saints over the last few weeks was, of course, the injury to Drew Brees. What was the feeling throughout all that? How did you feel about Taysom Hill as he kind of got his feet wet? And then, you know, Drew Brees, kind of surprised. We didn't expect him back so soon, but it looked to be a really good timing. What's kind of guide us through that whole, those few weeks, I guess we'll say.
Yeah, I mean, I think you saw pretty hot and cold performances from Taysom Hill. I don't think there was anything that was too terribly detrimental about any of his performances. And then at the same time, there's nothing that's going to make you insert him in the he's a Hall of Famer, you know, in the future conversation or anything like that, which makes sense for a guy who's only started four games in his NFL career and who didn't have an offseason to input a game plan or anything like that. Look, Locked On Saints listeners know I'm critical of Taysom Hill, but I'm also happy to give Taysom Hill credit. I mean, he still, regardless of how he performed on the granular level, he was still 3-1 in those games without Drew Brees. So he still led that team. He still played well. There are just some things he doesn't have in his arsenal yet, an inability right now, just in terms of knowledge of the offense and running the hurry up offense and the 2-minute drill. Those are things that he doesn't yet have in his back pocket yet. So once he gets those things, he'll inherently be a better quarterback based on his ability to be able to fluctuate flow, game flow and things like that, and be able to speed up the pace when it's necessary. Getting Drew Brees back, he had the Philadelphia Eagles game targeted. There was no way he was going to make it back for that. After that Philadelphia Eagles game ended up being a disappointing loss for the Saints, I have very little doubt that Drew Brees didn't just tell everybody, I'm coming back. But he also was cleared by the doctors. They knew on Sunday after the game that they were going to have him on that following, you know, on that next game against Kansas City. So it wasn't a decision that was like just made on Friday or anything like that. It just happened that the news broke on Friday. And then, you know, a good portion of what you saw from him was still very good ball placement, him making a very deep pass down the field to Emmanuel Sanders. He's attacking a little bit more beyond the 10-yard line, 20-yard line, or 20 yards, 10 yards down from the line of scrimmage than he is in the short or intermediate range that we're used to seeing. So there are some things that you're seeing from him right now that show sort of a sign of second life from him as he comes back. And it seems very excited to have him for the playoff run.
Absolutely. And boy, Alvin Kamara, what a Christmas gift on Friday against the Vikings. And of course, happy your merry belated Christmas to you and getting ready for the new year with you. Explain to us how in the world that happened. Like, how was Alvin Kamara able to have just so much success against the Vikings on Christmas Day?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to give Alvin Kamara credit for his individual performance, of course, but then you also have to look at the offensive line. The offensive line continuously reset the line of scrimmage. They would move it not only vertically, but there were times where they reset it horizontally to the other side of the field. Teron Armstead was an absolute bully in this game. He gave somebody an all expenses paid trip back to Minnesota at one point. He was outstanding. Alvin Kamara was never touched in the backfield. He also never touched the ball outside of a first or a second down, and he only touched the ball 6 times on second down. So all of the damage that he did was in obvious run situations on first down. It was pretty incredible watching this. The efficiency, all of it was there for Alvin Kamara. All of it was there for the offensive line, and it came in the same game where the Saints had a 300-yard passer, 2 80-yard receivers, and another 70-plus-yard rusher as well. So that entire offense really clicked in that game up against this mostly depleted Minnesota defense. But again, teams play against depleted defenses every week and don't have performances like that. Like, somebody's got to play the Jets every week, right? And none of them have had that performance before. So a really good showing by the Saints offense in that one.
Absolutely. And definitely delivered a lot of Christmas gifts in terms of early fantasy championships. So if you had him and Tom Brady, you were pretty much set before Sunday even got going.
Yeah.
Looking
not to
ahead
mention,
to the,
not to mention the money that I cleaned up thanks to betonline.ag too with that -6.5 spread.
There you go. Absolutely. Good stuff there. I think we're ready to flip it around, and I guess it's time for me to go on the hot seat for the final time this year. So let's do it.
Yeah, we'll get to that in just a moment. But look, I have to tell you, you know, when it comes down to being fit and everything, that has been a big part of what I've been trying to do during this time, during the pandemic. And I think I've been doing okay. I've been getting a little bit of help, though, from our good friends over at Built Bar. I know you love Built Bars as well.
Mm-hmm.
These things have
absolutely
been insane. They're insanely good. They taste like candy bars, but they are protein bars. You can get 17, 18, 19 grams of protein there, but also only take on 4 or 5 grams of sugar, 4 or 5 grams of net carbs as well. They are really just this really awesome snack that you can take with you to like get a quick snack, get a quick bite in, pre-workout, post-workout in some occasions and everything as well. And for me, they've just helped me get to the place to where, you know, I build my confidence with these a little bit, having these Built Bars, because Bill, I am atrociously ugly. And so whatever I can do to help myself by having these protein bars, incredibly helpful, incredibly helpful. So I'm so grateful for the help that Built Bars has given my ugly behind. And I really recommend them. And Bill and I obviously recommend them to everybody to go and check them out. Check them out over at builtbar.com. Use the promo code Locked On. You get 20% off of your next order. Use the promo code Locked On for 20% off at builtbar.com. I'm telling you, best tasting protein bars there are. All right, y'all, if you're looking for a fun Sunday pregame show that takes just about every game and every team and talks about them in depth, check out the Locked On NFL Sunday show live every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern time. No sketches, no celebrity cameos, no fluff, just football every Sunday morning with your host, Cody Roark of Locked On Broncos, and myself, Ross Jackson, me from Locked On Saints. Follow and subscribe to Locked On Live on Twitter, Facebook, Twitch, and YouTube. And don't forget to turn on notifications to be notified when the show goes live every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern time. So, Bill, as we roll along here with our final regular season crossover, I have to ask, because I think that a lot of people are just kind of writing this off as a win for the Saints. A lot of people saying it's the Carolina Panthers team. They've got nothing to play for, things like that. I tend to contend that the Panthers do have something to play for at the end of this season. Matt Rhule, new coach, wants to establish a winning culture. Don't want to go out with a loss on your season. Joe Brady getting some of that head coach off-season conversation murmurs already early. Young talent to evaluate. Would you agree that the Panthers are a threat here in this game and have something, at least some motivation to go out there and try to play spoiler to the Saints?
Yeah, I mean, if they were going to kind of lay down and not really show any fight, I think we would have seen it last week, but they went out and they prevented the Washington football team from winning the NFC East. And now, of course, right, Washington has to win on Sunday. And I mean, that's the type of win, you know, I don't want to focus too much, but I'm just using week 16 to kind of illustrate this point a bit. To win a game on the road in late December, you know, have the lead that they did and be able to hold on to it against a team that's fighting for the playoffs on their home field is a big win for them. So yeah, the Panthers are going to fight like hell in this game. You know, they showed it a couple weeks ago. I thought they'd get the doors blown off them 2 weeks ago when they played the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's remember, the Panthers have 10 losses. Only two of them have been by more than 8 points,
right.
me. And that was both games against the Buccaneers.
Yeah, including even the New Orleans Saints game, which came down to a literal 6 inches. You know, it came down to that would have been an NFL record field goal by Joey Sly, who I still contend if he would have just them big old muscles, if he would have just punched the ball, he would have made it, but he kicked it.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to ask too, like with this team having all of this to play for, potentially playing spoiler to an NFL NFC South division opponent, or keeping the Saints from sweeping, being the first team ever to sweep within the division as well. The Panthers are going to walk in here with no Mike Davis and with no Christian McCaffrey. So what's going to be the situation at the running back position?
Yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of, you might see a little bit more Rodney Smith now, the undrafted free agent out of Minnesota, who's gotten a little bit more playing time over the last couple weeks. I've started to become a bit of a fan. I liked him a bit coming out of Minnesota, and he's shown well the last couple weeks. You're probably going to see trends in Cannon now a little bit. He had always kind of operated as the third running back, a special teamer, so you might see him a little bit. And then Miles Hartsfield is kind of their very dynamic player, we'll say, because he's able to play both sides of the ball, because he's gotten a good bit of playing time at the safety position as well. But he's, you know, he might get some snaps at the running back position as well. And then, of course, we've seen Curtis Samuel get snaps there. And this is a big game, I think, for Curtis Samuel, too, because he's about to be a free agent. He's had a nice stretch the last few weeks. This could be that final money-making game, we'll say, for Curtis Samuel. So really intrigued what they're going to do here at the running back position. But those are probably going to be the main names to look out for if Mike Davis can't go.
Yeah, there's a defender on the Saints side. So at the same time, that's going to be in a similar situation with Quan Alexander being done for the rest of the season with an Achilles tear. Alex Anzalone, very much in that same situation. Who's, you know, a guy that's in a contract year that's going to look to try to limit all those guys that you just mentioned in order to make sure that he is back next season, or at least picks up a good contract somewhere. You know, every offseason we do our ultimate divisional crossovers, which are always a ton of fun. We get to kick it with David and James and Aaron as well, and chop it up about the NFC South. But let me get a little bit of a perspective from you real quick now about the future of the Carolina Panthers, just specifically what you think the Panthers are going to be able to most immediately improve upon going into next season with all this young talent and all of this talent now getting a full season under their belt.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think one position group I think I'm going to be excited to watch next season is going to be the defensive line, because you've seen a lot of flashes now from a lot of these young guys. Obviously, Derek Brown, their first round pick. Yito Gross-Matos at the edge, and then Bravion Roy, their sixth-round pick, got a good bit of playing time with K'Wan Short being out. So really excited to see what these guys do in year two. And then, of course, Brian Burns will be back for year three. He's already starting to become... absolutely. He's so good. I will still pat myself on the back that I correctly nailed that pick in my final mock two seasons ago. I know it seemed crazy that he fell to 16, but it was just the way the board kind of ended up stacking with some of these teams. But that front for the Panthers, really excited to see them take the next step forward. And obviously Jeremy Chinn in year two, really excited to watch him continue to grow. So those are probably the biggest spots I'm most excited. And then, of course, the quarterback position.
Right.
Are they the rumblings? Are they going to take one in the top 10? You know, what are they going to do with Teddy Bridgewater? You know, obviously a long way to go to the draft, but that's going to be one of the more fun debates we're going to have over the next couple months, is will Carolina take a quarterback if they're in position to?
Hey, you know, if they're looking to ship off Teddy Bridgewater, I know at least one city that would be more than happy to have him back.
Absolutely.
So let me switch over to the defensive side real quick before we wrap up here today. What do you expect to see from the Carolina Panthers on the defensive side, whether it be from their own evaluation and what the coaching staff wants to see from them, or in terms of their matchup with the Saints this week?
Yeah, really curious to see, you know, how they handle the defense. You know, we've seen Dante Jackson finally be healthy here over the last few weeks of the season. Hadn't really seen that for most of the season. So excited to see him go out there and get, you know, try to finish this third year on a high note after he's had what's now been two inconsistent years. Curious to see what they do with him, if they move him around with Sanders, or, you know, what they do there. Defense, you know, I mentioned the defensive line earlier. They've been up and down in terms of getting to the opposing quarterback. So, you know, we'll see if they can, if they can make some moves here and get to Drew Brees and, you know, put some pressure on the offensive line here. And then, yeah, it's going to be really fascinating how they try to stop Alvin Kamara. I mean, I think, you know, they didn't really have Jermaine Carter playing at the middle linebacker position the first time these two teams met. Now Carter's out there, and, you know, the Panthers have looked a little bit better in the middle of the defense ever since Carter took over for Tyre Whitehead. So how they try to kind of corral Kamara, I guess we'll say, is going to be really interesting. But yeah, I'm going to be curious how these corners do, because that's another position that this team might look to improve on. So I think that's going to be one spot to to really look out for, is how these corners can handle this offense.
Yeah, that's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to this matchup. I mean, I think both of these teams have something to play for once they're out on the field on Sunday. This game did get flexed so that it could take place at the same time as the other games that are, you know, deciding NFC seeding. There's the tricky, tricky NFL and the way that they do that, as they've really always done. Like, it's always been something that they've wanted to do and make sure that those stay competitive. Last time that I saw a spread over at betonline.ag, the Saints were, that line had moved up to Saints minus 6.5. So that's what you're looking at from the betting perspective here. And of course, you can always check out our friends over at betonline.ag and always use that promo code Locked On to get your 50% welcome bonus as well. Bill, always a pleasure, man. And it won't be long until we speak again once we get into our ultimate divisional crossovers and everything recapping the season.
Always kind of bittersweet wrapping up the regular season
and
these final crossovers. But if I had to choose one to finish up the regular season with, I'm always glad that it's you, man. So I think this is a couple years now in a row that we've wrapped it up, and you know, I'm always excited that we get to close it out here.
Yeah, absolutely. Very same to you, my friend. A happy new year to you. Everybody, make sure you follow Bill on Twitter at Bill Rossetti on Twitter. I don't know how many times I'm going to say Twitter. And then myself, of course, at Ross Jacksonola. We appreciate you, and buddy, always appreciate you. All right, family, that is our Crossover Thursday episode. Happy New Year's Eve to everybody. Don't forget to stay safe here over the holiday, and I will be back on Monday. No show on New Year's Day. Getting a little bit of rest while I can take it here over these next two holidays before the Saints begin their playoff run. So I will be back on Monday, Victory Monday, Sad Boy Monday, whatever it might be. We'll be right here ready to go and rock it, which don't forget to check out the articles over at CanalStreetChronicles.com, as well as the Canal Street Chronicles YouTube page, where I've been doing a video series over there as well. I'll have Thursday's episode over there up later on in the afternoon as well. So if you miss me on Friday, lots of places to catch some of the other content going on all around Saints media. Oh, and real quick, because I said it last week and it worked, this week I'm going to do exactly what I did last week. I'm not going to say that I want to see Alvin Kamara cook. So I'm just going to say that I'm not saying it, because that's what I said last week and then it ended up working. So we'll see how it goes. But anyway, I love y'all. I appreciate y'all as always for coming through. Once again, I'm Ross Jackson. You can follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. If you haven't already, please take a moment to subscribe. Drop that 5-star rating and review. I thank you so much for all your support and for helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints, and trust you, that nation. I'll holla at you.